You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome along to another edition of The Punt, another round of Premier League fixtures for us to look at this week. Sam Norris with you here in the chair, and joining me in the studio is Dave Kelmer, and on the line as ever, Derek McGovern. How are we this morning, chaps?
Great, great. Still recovering from last night's heady event.
Have you come off the ceiling yet, Derek?
No, well, only just, because not only did Liverpool win, which is great news, of course, I also had a few bob on them, and last-minute goals never go your way. Every punter knows that. And finally one did, so tremendous.
You know what I love about Derek is the fact that 6 weeks ago we were recording a podcast and he said, I never watch them anymore. I'm not bothered about them anymore. And 6 weeks later, Klopp's involved. The crowd are getting going. Derek's winning money. And all of a sudden, he's Liverpool's number one fan again.
Well, the amazing thing was, I had a bet in Liverpool, but I also had a double on Shakhtar Donetsk and, not Sevilla, you know, Villarreal. And I couldn't even, I didn't know the score. You know, sometimes you're always checking your results and you're checking how things are going. But I couldn't take my eyes off the Liverpool game, so I had no idea. The other bet was going in as well. So happy days.
Very good.
It's been a good week for the coefficient all round as well, with Manchester City getting into the semi-finals. We were never bothered about the coefficient until a couple of years ago. Now it's all anyone can talk about. A good week for English football in Europe.
That must have been you were thinking about last night, Derek. Wasn't
it? No, I wouldn't give him. Didn't give two monkeys about my bet. I was thinking the coefficient's doing well here. Well done, lads. And not only that, I mean, this is two teams, by the way, City and Liverpool, who could both finish outside the top four and yet could still win a European trophy.
It's incredible. Weird season. Weird season all round.
Very much so. Let's get stuck into some of the betting then for this weekend, chaps. Another big weekend at both ends of the table, as you'd expect at this time of the season. We start with the early kickoff on Saturday from Carrow Road. This is Norwich taking on Sunderland. Norwich are 11-8. The draw here is 9-4. Sunderland are 2-1. Mbakani to score and Norwich to win is 4-1, as in enhanced odds. And Jermaine Defoe to score and a Sunderland win is enhanced to 5-1 from 7-2. Obviously, a massive relegation ding-dong here. And it's very much do or die, particularly for Sunderland, Derek. Anything less than 3 points, probably not good enough here.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if Norwich win, they stay up. If Sunderland win, they only might stay up. If they draw, they'll probably go down. And if they lose, they will go down. That's what's at stake. Tough game to call for punters, though. I think the odds compilers have pretty much got it spot on. The thing I would say about this game is that Norwich... Of the teams who are at the bottom, there's four teams in the mix, obviously, and Villa. Norwich are capable of winning games, whereas Sunderland don't seem to. The best Sunderland can hope for at the moment is not to lose them. I think there's four draws in their last six, no wins in that time. Norwich, in the same spell, have had two decent wins against Newcastle and West Brom. Matches that, you know, you might expect them to win again, but this is the same, similar calibre of opposition. I think if there's going to be a winner, it'll be Norwich. I'm tempted by the draw, but I just fancy Norwich because... You know, that game against Newcastle, the shades of this game in that one. And they won that 3-2 and won it well. I expect them to win Norwich, actually.
Okay, Norwich in the betting at 11-8. Do you see it that way, DK?
I think the draw's the bet here, actually. I do like the draw in this game. I understand what Derek's saying about Sunderland. You look through their recent profile, they have drawn too many games. Prior to the loss against Leicester City last weekend, where they lost 2-0, they'd drawn four straight. Just not many goals in this Sunderland side. That's the problem. You look at Jermaine Defoe. He is their number one man, obviously. He's got 12 Premier League goals this season. No other Sunderland player in the squad has scored more than three. That's Patrick Van Aanholt and Fabio Barini. He has got 9 goals in 13 Premier League away appearances as well, Jermaine Defoe. So I think if you're looking for a goal scorer bet, it's got to be Defoe, who's 6-4 to score any time for Sunderland. But as Derek mentioned, they don't win games, and I think Norwich will set up for a point here. A point at this stage in the season for Norwich is a good result because they are 4 clear of Sunderland, albeit Sunderland do have a game in hand. That will just consolidate their position in 17th place in the table at Norwich. So they'll be happy with a point. This is a huge, huge match for Sunderland more so than for Norwich. And you look at Sunderland's away record as a whole as well, Sam, they've just won 3 of their last 27 Premier League matches. So I find it very difficult to side with a team at 2-1 with that sort of stat against them. And they've only kept one clean sheet in their last 17 Premier League away matches. And I think if they concede here against Norwich, they don't have the firepower to score two or more. I actually really like the 1-1 draw at 11-2. And I'm also tempted by a red card in the game here. Anytime Lee Catamol's playing, you've got a shout. It's 100-30 for a red card in this game. Three of the last four meetings between the two has seen a red card. It's going to be tense. It's going to be vitriolic, I think. I think it's going to be a very tight match, this one. So, yes, for there to be a red card at 100-30. Andre Mariner's refereeing. He's shown four red cards this season. And in his most recent game that he refereed, last week's game between Swansea and Chelsea, he showed nine yellows. So he's not averse to putting his hand in his pocket and showing a card. So I think the red card at 100-30 is a reasonable price. And I'll play the 1-1 draw here at 11-2.
Okay, Dave's thoughts then for the Norwich versus Sunderland game. We move on to another televised match on Saturday. Now, this is the tea time kickoff between Chelsea and Manchester City. Chelsea in the betting at 6-4, draw 23-10. Man City are 9-5. Enhanced odds here, Pedro to score in a Chelsea win is now 5-1 from 19-5. And Kevin De Bruyne to score in a Manchester City win is now 6-1 from 9-2. When the scheduling gods arranged this fixture, they probably thought we'd have a title battle on our hands. It's not the case. Chelsea's season is pretty much over, Derek. But
yeah,
I was pretty impressed with Man City in midweek. A lot of people said PSG weren't at their best, and that is perhaps true. But I thought it was a good performance against the French champions.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, PSG, okay, they were disappointing, but they're no mugs. You know, they're always in the mix in the Champions League, and City made them look second rate, to be honest. City in Europe are a different animal this season than City in the league, and it had to be, you know, because they would have been laughed out of Europe otherwise if they did carry their Premier League form into it. Yeah, it was a great result, and you can't get out of your mind the 5-1 win for Chelsea against City in February. That was when City played an understrength side earlier in the season. In fact, I think it was it the opening weekend? Man City beat Chelsea 3-0. There's nothing to get worked up on the odds, it really isn't. But if there's going to be a winner, surely it's going to be City. Well, at least they've got something to play for. You could argue that, you know, they're in the semi-finals of the Champions League, that's all that matters. But they're more than likely not going to win the Champions League. They've got a real good chance of getting in the top four. And really, if you're a City fan, I know that you want the glory of winning the Champions League, but you've got to consolidate first. You've got to get into that top four. And I think they're meeting Chelsea at the right time. Chelsea's season's over. I'd go for City here at around a 7-4, 9-5 mark.
Yeah, it probably is arguably a really good time to play Chelsea City, or certainly the best time this season. And Derek makes a good point there, Dave. Consolidation is key at this point. They're still the outsiders of the four to win the Champions League, so they need to tie down this fourth spot first.
They do. I actually see this differently to Derek, because after that Champions League semi-final quarter-final win against PSG, Manuel Pellegrini was solely focused on the Champions League. He made some comments afterwards. He said, "Now it is very important to do things with the Champions League in mind. We are waiting for the draw, but now we have to play three games in the Premier League." I think that Pellegrini, given that he's leaving at the end of the season, wants to go out with a real bang. Mm. And Derek mentioned the game against Chelsea earlier on in the season when they rested a lot of players. I think they might rest players here. I don't think Kevin De Bruyne, who has been talismanic for them, since he came back into the team, they've looked like a different outfit, really. I don't think he's going to play. He, in midweek, asked to be substituted late on in that game against PSG because he was so tired. So I don't think he'll play at the weekend. And Chelsea have got a really good record against Manchester City at Stamford Bridge as well. They've lost just one of their last 17 Premier League home games against Manchester City, which is amazing, really. They have drawn a number of those. You look at all the draws, they've drawn five of those. They've only won one of their last seven Premier League home games as well, Chelsea. So you can look at it from both perspectives here. I just think that even though they've got Sergio Aguero, who has this tremendous record in recent Premier League games, 10 in his last 11 he's got, and he is 6-5 to score any time, I think Chelsea might win this. I reckon there'll be a definite mental letdown for Manchester City following that midweek win against PSG. I'll be with Chelsea here at 6-4 to win this game.
Okay, Chelsea 6-4. Then a difference of opinion for Dave and Derek on that game. We move to Sunday's game now, though. Another televised fixture between the champions-elect Leicester as they host West Ham. Leicester here are 10-11 in the betting. The draw is 5-2. West Ham are priced up at 3-1. Enhanced odds for this one, Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win is 3-1, and Dimitri Payet to score in a West Ham win is priced up at 8-1. The Player of the Season nominees got announced earlier this week. Leicester have three of the six nominees, so that in the shape of Mahrez, Vardy and Kante, and they've become very, very good at managing games well lately. But West Ham finished the game off in impressive fashion against Manchester United during the week, Derek. This should be a stern test for them.
Yeah, but it's a long time since West Ham won a game, isn't it? I think the 3-2 win at Everton was the last one. I was disappointed in West Ham in midweek against United. Yeah, he came on strong at the end, but they had to 2-0 down, and you know United might have easily taken the foot off the gas. Don't know, they're not striking me as the team. This is West Ham I'm talking about, the team they were maybe a month or two ago. And Leicester just keep doing everything right, everything you want a championship favourite, a title favourite to do, they are doing. Not conceded a goal in five, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 2-0. These aren't great teams they've been playing. You know, Watford, Newcastle, Palace, Southampton, Sunderland, but they're getting the job done. They need three wins from five matches to seal the title. And you know, we've long since given up waiting for them to slip up because they ain't going to. They're just doing everything right. And I still think, even at odds on, I still think the bookies are underrating them here. I think they'll beat West Ham. I know West Ham, you could argue, still have it all to play for, given that they're in sixth place, still have got a top four spot still within sight. But they are 5 points behind Man City now. And maybe for West Ham, it's beginning to slip away for them. Out of the cup as well, they were resting all that, you know, putting a lot of faith in that you could say is a mental letdown for Hammers. I like Leicester here. I just can't go against them.
Okay,
Derek, Player of the Year odds.
Oh my God!
Yeah, out on the William website.
Thank God you put me off. Remember a few weeks ago I was asking about that and I thought it was nailed on to be Vardy. He's no winner to be seen, is he?
I was just about to say, you'll be at 5-2, Derek. You'll be remortgaging the house, won't you?
Well, I thought, had I not spoken to you a couple of weeks ago, I would have thought, yeah, it's an absolute certainty. But everybody I've spoken to lots of other people in the pub, they're all going, no, Mahrez, and a few of them are going, yeah, Kante as well. Very few are talking about Vardy. I can't believe it. In my eye, I'm obviously wrong. You know, it's hard for me to say that.
But that's the first time I've ever heard you say it, actually, Derek.
But I still can't see why he isn't favourite, but there you go. In fact, what I should do, if I had any faith in my punting wherewithal, I would, you know, lump on, but too many voices are urging no, so I won't. Including my bank manager.
I'll be so upset as well if he does get it and then you refuse to do the podcast with us again, Derek, because I've put you off that bet. N'Golo Kante there at 20-1. He's just maybe not fashionable enough, but he has a terrific season. That looks overpriced at 20s to me, N'Golo Kante. But I think Mahrez is going to get it at 1-3. But these odds, Derek, are more skewed heavily in the favour of Mahrez than I anticipated. I thought there'd be not as much between them, not this disparity between them in the prices.
Yeah, well, I fully expected Vardy to be fair. Has Mahrez really been that much better than Vardy? Vardy's goals have put them up there, isn't it?
He's broken that record as well, which you think has got to come into account at some point in time. You've been missed,
honestly, I'm stumped. I'm dumbfounded, you can tell.
I'm going with Leicester in this game as well. I mean, Derek's with Leicester at 10-11. I quite like Leicester. Derek reeled off the results they've had recently. All those 1-0 wins followed by the late 2-0 win against Sunderland where Vardy scored in the 66th minute and then scored in the 90th minute as well. I like Leicester in under 2.5 goals. I mean, that's 3-1. Leicester basically to win this game 1-0 or 2-0, which I think is a terrific price. And it's going to be difficult, I think Derek mentioned it there, for West Ham to get over that loss in the FA Cup because Slaven Bilic and his players wanted that trophy so badly to be knocked out of the FA Cup. When I think, Derek, I don't know if you backed them, but it was like each of two, wasn't it, on Wednesday night? And most people I spoke to expected West Ham to win that game as well.
Yeah, I did too, but they were second best. Really were second best. I mean, I was really disconcerted by that game because it looked almost as though Man United were getting back to where they should be. I mean, it was a professional performance by them, and they didn't give. I didn't think they'd give West Ham a kick, to be honest. I thought they were excellent United, but West Ham very disappointing.
serious incentive for Leicester here as well. You think if they win this game before Tottenham play on Monday night, they'll have extended that gap to 10 points.
And they get the luxury, I think, from now until the final day of the season, they always play before Spurs. So they can constantly be putting the pressure on now, week in, week out.
Yeah,
they play their game before Spurs play theirs. Which
you know, it's in everybody. You're right to say that, Sam, and everybody. You know, it's something all the commentators on the TV. But the normal man on the street will say, "Well, surely that's not a good thing. Surely, you know, they lose. You know, the pressure's on them to get a result first." But then again, you look at it in a penalty shootout, and statistically, the team that fires first in a penalty shootout wins 64% of the time. So you could argue it's that. You know, it does shade the odds Leicester's way by playing first.
Yeah, I think it does. There doesn't feel to be any, to me, to be any pressure on Leicester City either. Now they can they're freewheeling, really.
Yeah,
because they know they have this huge gap on the rest of the field, and they're cruising in front, and it's the perfect time to meet West Ham. They couldn't have asked for a better opponent this weekend, given West Ham went out of the FA Cup midweek. And that was a grueling fixture against Manchester United, and really demoralising from their perspective as well. The danger man is Dimitri Payet. We all know that. In his last seven Premier League appearances, he's had a hand in seven goals, scoring three times and assisting four. So if you're looking at a goal scorer from the West Ham point of view, you've got to be looking at Dimitri Payet. He's 13-5 to score any time. But I don't think Leicester will concede here. I think they'll do what they've been doing. Perfect time to meet the Hammers. Leicester and under 2.5 goals is a damn good price here at 3-1.
Okay, another win for the Foxes then for both Dave and Derek in that fixture. We go to Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. Now this is on the telly at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Arsenal 7-20 in the betting, 19-5 the draw, and Palace are priced up at 8-1. Enhanced odds for this game: Alexis Sanchez to score in an Arsenal win is 6-4, and Yannick Bolasie to score in a Crystal Palace win is 25-1. Arsenal will be keen to consolidate a third place, because obviously they want to go through a qualifying phase for the Champions League. And Crystal Palace, I mean, they're pretty much safe now. But I'm still struggling, Derek, with the 7-20 available here about Arsenal. Whilst they should win, it doesn't scream steam in, does it, that price for me?
No. But I said the same thing a few weeks ago when you were playing Watford. I said you need the headset to back Arsenal at those kind of prices, and they won 4-0. But last week, you know, a 3-3 draw against West Ham, something not quite right at Arsenal. If this was, say, about 3 months ago, and I'd have seen Palace at 8-1 to win this game, I'd have been all over them, absolutely all over them. But it's not the same Palace, is it? You know, they're not winning away from home like they were. You could rely on them on the break, you know, Velassi or Zaha or somebody else to nick a goal and win a 1-0 win away from home. I just can't have them anymore, especially if you've got the FA Cup semi-final coming up. They are safe. There's no real mileage in it for them. And if they took the foot off the gas here, everybody would say, well, yeah, I'd do the same. If I was playing for Palace in this game, semi-final coming up. It pains me to say it, but I've got to go for Arsenal here.
It's a stinker, this, I think. I don't want to back Arsenal at 7-20 to win at home, given they have... It's typical Arsenal, isn't it? End up battling it out for fourth place when they should be challenging for the Premier League title. Happens every single season. That draw away at West Ham that Derek mentioned, that ended their title hopes. It was a cracking game, but 3-3 draw is not what Arsenal needed at this point of the season. As for Crystal Palace, the 0-0 draw with Everton on Wednesday night has moved them on to 38 points. And after the last two results with that 1-0 win against Norwich as well, that's assured their survival. So nothing for Crystal Palace here to play for either. And Arsenal have got a good record against Crystal Palace. They've won 10 and lost just one of their last 13 Premier League games against Palace. They've won the last six in a row as well, but they're still 7-20 to win this game. I think, Derek, what's changed for Arsenal is Mesut Ozil hasn't been... I know he scored against West Ham, but he hasn't been the same factor in the second half of the season as he was in the first half. You look through his stats first half of the season, he was absolutely sensational, seemingly had an assist every week. But in his last 12 Premier League games, he's had just two assists. Whereas...
I'm glad you mentioned him,
because he's in the running for the PFA Player of the Year.
Yeah.
How on earth is it? Has it been? I mean, this is the season everybody's talking about, and you're getting a clown like that in the running. he'd been one of the top six players in the Premier League. God forbid.
He hasn't
been cited since January.
He was brilliant in the opening.
He got a few assists. Big deal.
You like a quite assist, Derek, don't you, with that guy that sits in front of the back four? That's where assists stand with you.
Exactly. I mean, when we were years ago, we never mentioned assists, did you? You know, you used to call, you play football, and you know, how'd you get on? We won 2-0, did you score? No, but I made one. You know, that's what you get. That's the kind of esteem they should be treated in with. I can't believe the praise he's got for guys. He's just, in my eyes, you know, a slightly above average midfielder.
Oh,
there you
come
go.
On. I'm not having that. I think he's a great player, but he's gone off the boil last 3 months, definitely. In addition to that, if Arsenal win this game, just one more stat to throw in, this will be their 500th win in the Premier League. Only Manchester United have more. I don't even want to bet in this game. Can I veto one this week? This is the one that I'd... Palace are 8-1. Palace just...
It's really unappealing, isn't it? That the whole...
I'd rather bet Palace at 8-1 than I would have a lumpy bet on Arsenal at 7-20. I'll sit on the fence here. I'll play Palace plus one, which is 11-5. So over 2-1, getting two results running for you there. I'll play Palace plus one at 11-5. And hopefully, in this London derby, they'll just show something here. Palace, despite getting to that 38-point threshold and being safe in the Premier League for another season.
OK, plus a goal then for Palace, then for DK in that match. We go to Monday night's game now. This is Stoke versus Spurs. Stoke in the betting at 17-5. The draw is 5-2. And Tottenham are priced up at 5-6. Enhanced odds for this one. Boyan to score in a Stoke win is 8-1. And Harry Kane to score in a Tottenham win is the price of 2-1. We mentioned there Spurs have to play after Leicester again this weekend, but so far that's not really been affecting them. They've been getting the job done quite nicely, Spurs.
They have. I've been impressed with Spurs this season. I think they've been terrific, and that 3-0 win against Manchester United last weekend was sensational. Those three goals in the space of 6 minutes. I fancy Spurs to win this game. I think Derek might be leaning, I don't want to preempt him here, but might be leaning towards Stoke at a price of over 3-1. But Stoke have reached 47 points. Even if they finish strongly, they're unlikely to make it into Europe. Very disappointing last weekend. Tottenham have only lost one of their last 15 Premier League away matches as well. And Harry Kane's got 7 in his last 10. I quite like the headline offer here. I think it's an enhanced odds offer. It's a big boost. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 2-1 from 13-8. Despite not scoring last weekend, I think he'll be itching to get one in this game. And Stoke, for me, have down tools. So I'll be with that headline offer. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win at 2-1. Even if they do fall 10 points behind Leicester City, they'll be gunning for 3 here. So I'll go with Spurs to win this game.
Okay. Derek, are Dave's suspicions about you correct for this game, that you're leaning more towards Stoke?
Well, I do think the value is there in Stoke. They shouldn't be 3-1, but they did give an element of downing tools against Liverpool last week. It was a very un-Stoke-like performance. And one thing I've always said about Mark Hughes' teams is that they don't down tools. You know, even if there's nothing at stake, they generally keep playing until the end of the season. You can't say that about every team in the Premier League. So 17-5 has got a whiff of value about it. Now, I want to keep my powder dry here until I find out how the Leicester game's gone on, because if Leicester win, I've got a feeling Tottenham could be a massive deflation for Tottenham, because then I ain't going to close that gap with a few games to go. Tottenham will be banking on Leicester dropping points against West Ham. And if that doesn't happen, I think that the dispiriting factor will cost them any chance of victory. So I'm going to go for Stoke at 17-5. I don't believe, although they gave hints that's it for the season at Liverpool last week, I don't believe Mark Hughes will allow that to happen. Okay, they lost Southampton. They've only lost one other game in their last six besides the Liverpool game. That was against Southampton. I'm going to give Stoke another chance here. And the thing is, you see, Tottenham, yeah, they have had a great season. But it's Tottenham, and you're backing them at 5-6 to win away from home at Stoke. That's a tall order, that, at any stage of the season. So, no, I think they're too good.
One thing worthy of mention here. I mentioned the red card market in the game earlier on, the Saturday lunchtime kickoff between Norwich and Sunderland. Have a look at the red card here at 7-2. It's a weird one, this, but there have been 7 red cards in 7 Premier League games between Spurs and Stoke at the Britannia, which is interesting. Only one of those matches didn't see a man get sent off. So red card 7-2 may be worth a play just based on that stat. It could be a coincidence, but I'd follow the pattern there.
Okay, any interesting thoughts there? We go to the remainder of the 3 o'clock games now, the non-televised fixtures. We start with Saturday's game at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Aston Villa. 2-9 here for Man United, 9-2 about the draw, and Aston Villa are 16-1. Enhanced odds for this one, Anthony Martial to score in a Manchester United win is 5-4, and Jordan Ayew to score in an Aston Villa win is the price of 33-1. We touched on this a little bit earlier, guys, but Manchester United were impressive midweek against a pretty decent West Ham side. And Villa have looked gone for weeks and weeks and months, haven't they? And they will finally be relegated if they lose this game. They almost look as though the players, they're embracing relegation. They look as though they want it over and done with already.
Yeah, they've given up for the season. Well, they gave up in about August. And, you know, I was reading one of the papers today, Gabriel Bonlahor has been sentenced to, I think it is, for 2 weeks. I mean, he looks like he's eating the back four. How can a player in the Premier League be in that shape? It's just symptomatic of everything that's wrong with Villa this season. They deserve to go down, good riddance to them. They're 16-1, aren't they, to win this game? There'll be nobody on earth backing them. How can you? I mean, he put a zero on the end of that, and he wouldn't be backing them. I'll put a zero on the end of Villa's scoreline here because that's what they're going to get. Absolutely nothing. Better teams than Villa, which includes everybody in the Premier League. I've gone to United and, you know, they find it hard to score. United will win this 2-9. You know, I'm not telling anybody anything there. But United to win -2 is 7-4, and I can't see why that won't happen. I know they generally don't cakewalk against sides United, but this is Villa. Come on. United -2, 7-4. I love that bet.
You know what the biggest travesty is? That Aston Villa still aren't mathematically relegated.
Yeah.
Is that right?
If they lose this weekend, they will be down. But they're still not officially relegated, Aston Villa.
Hold on. They can get 15 points and that'll take them to 31 points, the same as Norwich. So they probably are, aren't they? Because... Norwich and
There's more chance of aliens walking the earth tomorrow. Derek.
I live with a Villa fan, and he said last week, all I want is, after 22 years or whatever it's been of top flight football, I don't want to be sent down by AFC Bournemouth. So he's more than happy to lose this week and be sent down by Manchester United.
That's fantastic. And what Derek made mention of there, Gabriel Bonlahor, it's almost a microcosm of Aston Villa's season. They didn't even think about tweeting out something that didn't make the club look like a laughingstock. Something like Gabriel Bonlahor suffered a hamstring injury. They just came out and told the truth.
Yeah.
And we talked about, Derek, about the money they'd spent on modifying the club's badge as well last week. Spent £2 million sharpening the talons on the rampaging lion and getting rid of the word prepared. They are a laughingstock, Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Worst team in Premier League history, undoubtedly, in my mind. 16 points from 33 games, and they won't be getting anything here.
Worse than the Derby team that went down with 9... Was it Paul Jules' Derby side?
Was Robbie Savage in that side?
Yeah, I think it was. They were awful, I think, but I can't remember them being quite as bad as this Villa team.
They had less spirit, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, the rumour about Bonlahor was that he actually tested positive for Greggs. But, he used to be a good player as well, didn't he, Bonlahor? Sad that was gone there. Really sad.
You look at Manchester United's price, it's 2-9. I don't think anyone if you're just having one bet on the match, and you're not throwing it into multiples and accumulators, will want to get stuck in at 2-9. If you look at Manchester United to win to nil, that's 13-20, which you're getting closer and closer towards between 1-2 and even money, isn't it?
Still too short, though, isn't it?
It does still look too short. I'm going to take Derek on slightly. I think the way Manchester United play, they will not completely annihilate a side, even like Aston Villa. I fancy Manchester United and under 2.5 goals here. So Manchester United to win this game 1 or 2-0. Job done scoreline after their midweek exertions. So that's 15-8. I think that's a good price. Manchester United under 2.5. And you look at Manchester United's recent home form, they've kept 10 clean sheets in the last 15 at home in the league. And I can't see Villa going there and scoring. So that looks a great bet to me. And the way Timothy Fosu-Mensah's played recently at right back has been outstanding. I mean, it was no surprise that when he went off in that game against Spurs, that's when they got their 3 goals quickly. He should play. They look at a better side with him at right back, Rojo at left back, and Smalling and Blint playing as centre halves. So Manchester United under 2.5 goals, and that's 15-8.
Okay, fair enough. We go to the Newcastle versus Swansea game next. And Newcastle in the betting here at 11-8. The draw is 11-5. And Swansea are priced up at 21-10. Enhanced odds for this one. Andros Townsend to score in a Newcastle win is 5-1. And Gylfi Sigurdsson to score in a Swansea win is priced up at 6-1. All eyes, Newcastle-wise, will be on the early kickoff, of course, because if there's a positive result either way in the Norwich or Sunderland game, it begins to look very, very ominous for Newcastle.
Well, I think it could be like the Tottenham scenario. You know, if Leicester win, Tottenham would be so deflated. I think the same applies here. You know, if there is a positive result at Carrow Road, it's pretty much curtains, isn't it, for Newcastle? I mean, mathematically it's not, but Jesus, they'd have an absolute mountain to climb. I mean, and how bad are they? Well, they conceded 3 goals against the Norwich side, who in 4 other matches either side of that picture had scored just 1 goal. I mean, that takes some doing that to concede 3 to Norwich. This is a Norwich side that's been, for the last 2 months, trying to tighten up their defence. I like the look of Swansea here. You know, they've won the last three times they've been to St James's Park. They've won 3-2, 2-1 and 2-1. They're showing a good run of form at the moment as well. Was it 4 wins and a draw in the last 6? You know, they should have given up the goals for the season, but they're actually coming on strong.
Yeah.
And they're meeting a Newcastle side that just looked bereft of confidence. I thought when Rafa Benitez went there, he'd shut up shop. You know, they'd grind a few 1-0 wins. Quite the opposite at the moment. And that tells me something. It tells me he just hasn't got the manpower there. He hasn't got the right calibre of players. So I'm going to go for Swansea. And I like that Sigurdsson bet, by the way. 6-1 in a Swansea win. Sigurdsson to score. Why won't that happen?
He's been amazing, hasn't he, this season? You look at his recent record, he's got 9 in his last 14 in the Premier League. I think I've mentioned this stat before, but his tally in 2016 in the league is only bettered by Sergio Aguero and Harry Kane, who have got 11 each. So he's been on fire as a midfielder, Sigurdsson. That headline offer, enhanced odds offer, really appeals to me. 6-1 from 9-2 for him to score and Swansea to win. They've been disappointing, even with Rafa Benitez as manager at Newcastle. There's a definite feeling of animosity in the camp. And I like what the BBC tweeted last weekend when Shane Long scored the first goal against Newcastle. They tweeted that Stephen Taylor had the turning circle of a North Sea oil rig, which I absolutely love, because the way he was skinned by Shane Long, you'd think Lionel Messi had put the moves on Taylor. I don't think he'll start in this game. I think he's injured. So, and Janmaat's out injured as well. So they're stretched defensively. But I see no positives with Newcastle at the moment. So I think you've got to play Swansea to win this game. And just to elaborate on the way these two and their seasons have gone, on Christmas Day, Newcastle were 2 points ahead of Swansea in the league. And now they're 15 behind. So they have capitulated badly, Newcastle. So Swansea, over 2-1 on Swansea to win this game, I think it's a damn good bet. And Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win, got to be worth a nibble as well at 6-1.
Okay, the guys unanimous then in support for Swansea in that fixture. We go to another 3 o'clock now on Saturday. This is Everton versus Southampton at Goodison. 7-5 here about Everton, 9-4 for the draw. And Southampton are priced up at 19-10. Enhanced odds for this one, Romelu Lukaku to score in an Everton win is 3-1. Graziano Pella to score in a Southampton win is priced up at 5-1. The top six is starting to come back to Southampton a little bit, but you'd still say that there's not a great deal riding on this game. And you always have to tread carefully punting-wise when you get to this stage of the season and two sides like this.
Everton, Derek, 12th in the... I know we do talk about this every single week, but how Roberto Martinez has managed to navigate them to 12th in the league is beyond me with the team that they've got at their disposal.
Do you think
they
should be higher or lower?
They should be higher.
Yeah, yeah,
they've got fantastic players throughout that side. They've got, you could say, it arguably three England internationals in the back four, and yet they're still 12th in the league. They've got Romelu Lukaku, who's a fantastic striker. They've got Ross Barkley, Gerard Deulofeu, Aaron Lennon. They've got some, maybe Aaron Lennon's... maybe it's stretching things a little bit far.
He's had a good season. He's been keeping Deulofeu out recently.
He has. So they've got talent all over the pitch, but they're somehow 12th in the league. They've only won one of their last nine at Goodison in the league as well, drawn two of those, lost six. And as you mentioned, Southampton are coming on strongly. They're chasing down that top six position or placing that top six. I like Southampton to win this game at 19-10. I just can't be with Everton. I think Martinez should be out in the summer. Whether or not he does get dismissed is open to question. I think he'll be there at the start of the season. But the way his team have performed second half of the season, and at home in particular, has been abysmal, really. I think he should be gone.
Derek, would an FA Cup final and possibly winning the FA Cup be enough to spare Martinez? Because I agree with Dave. I think his head could be on the chopping block come the end of the season.
No, I think an FA Cup would do it for him. I mean, he's done it for Wenger for three seasons, hasn't he? I mean, what I haven't won the FA Cup. The fans would well have settled for that
at
the start of the season. No, it doesn't matter where he finishes in the league, as long as he's not in the bottom three. I'll make one big admission here, and it will surprise you. My confidence in Everton to win the title next season has been diminished slightly. I don't know what's happened to them. You're right. Everything you said, you know, the personnel they've got there, they should be quite challenging for the top four, definitely. They've got a great squad on paper. Don't quite know what's gone wrong. I was prepared to give Martinez the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's a young side. They need to have a bit more know-how in how to win games, how to shut up shop. But it's gone on too long now. You know, they're not learning now. When will they? And you're right. I think Southampton are coming on strong. They've had some great results recently. Everton got the FA Cup semi-final coming up. They never win at home. Southampton have won more games away from home than Everton have won at home. Everything points to Southampton here at 19-10.
Okay, Southampton look at a decent bet then there at 19-10. The final 3 o'clock game on Saturday that we'll come to sees West Brom take on Watford. It's 13-10 here for West Brom, 11-5 the draw, and Watford are also in the betting at 11-5. Enhanced odds for this one, Saïd Berahino to score in a West Brom win is 4-1. Andy Garlow to score in a Watford win is priced up at 6-1. This fixture, guys, is 14th versus 15th. The only thing I'd like to say with confidence about this game is it will have to do a lot to avoid being last on match of the day.
I've got that noted down actually here in front of me as well.
Yeah, the only people less interested in this match than punters are the players. I mean, you could argue that positions in the Premier League table matter, but I don't think I've ever heard a less convincing reason to back a team since whatever I said last. I mean, there's nothing at stake, and I'll be surprised. It's got nil-nil written all over it. In fact, I think there could be fewer goals than that. no one will be watching this. I won't be having a bet other than backing low on the goals.
Yeah, I think nil-nil is a good price here at 7-1. I agree with what Derek said. You look at the stats involving these two teams as well. Games involving Watford this season have seen a league-low 68 goals scored, while West Brom have only seen 70 goals overall in their matches, which is the lowest and the third lowest in the league.
Okay.
So these two come together, and it's the perfect storm, really. I think the 0-0 draw at 7-1, there's nothing on this game at all. West Brom haven't lost in their last 15 meetings with Watford. That's one stat that does leap out. They've won 8 of those and drawn 7. This could be 8-8 after this game. 8 wins, 8 draws, because this is 0-0. 7-1, 0-0 draw here.
Yeah, I think so. 7-1 it is then, as DK said, for a goalless draw. The final game then on this week's podcast is Bournemouth versus Liverpool. A 1:30 kickoff on Sunday here. Bournemouth have 5-2, 12-5 for the draw, and Liverpool priced up at 11-10. Enhanced odds for this one, Joshua King to score in a Bournemouth win is 7-1, and Felipe Coutinho to score in a Liverpool win is priced up at 4-1. We spoke right at the top of the podcast about how impressive Liverpool were on Thursday night against Borussia Dortmund. Haven't always been renowned for backing up European performances with Premier League performances, Derek.
No, definitely not. Well, there's two ways of looking at it this fixture. Liverpool could be so inspired by what happened on Thursday that we'll go on a winning right to the end of the season. Or alternatively, you can throw every red cent you've got on Bournemouth, because there's nothing in this for Liverpool at all. And every Liverpool fan, there's not a Liverpool fan that will get on their players' backs if they throw in the towel in this game and lose, what, 2-0? Because it doesn't matter. They're in the Europa League semi-final with this prospect of a Champions League place next season by winning that competition. And the goodwill they've fostered by what happened on Thursday, that will last them for about 18 months. I can't see Liverpool getting anything out of this game because I don't think they're that bothered. I really don't. I know, you know, you'd say, well, how can you say that about Premier League football? But the humans, first of all, and that's what will happen. I think Bournemouth are really overpriced here at 5-2.
Yeah, Bournemouth at 5-2 does look pretty big, DK. As I said, Liverpool were impressive, but 11-10 away from home in a game that doesn't have too much riding on it for them.
Yeah, I think they're a good bet. I agree with Derek. I think Bournemouth at 5-2 are definitely too big here. The prices didn't change following Thursday night's win against Borussia Dortmund. These prices have remained pretty static. Callum Wilson's returning. He came on for a minute last weekend, and remember at the start of the season he was sensational. He scored 5 goals from just 8 shots on target in the Premier League, and he's still Bournemouth's joint top scorer this season with 5 goals, despite only playing 1 minute since back in September when he came on as substitute last week against Villa. But there is bound to be mental letdown here and physical letdown as well. I don't like the Thursday to Sunday. I've mentioned that numerous times on the podcast when Liverpool have been playing in Europe and similar scenario with Spurs earlier on in the season. 11-10's too short on Liverpool. Bournemouth at 5-2 in front of their fans. I think they win this game, and I think they win quite comprehensively as well. I can see them winning by two clear goals, definitely. So I think this could easily be 2-0 or 3-1 this game. Bournemouth minus one's a massive price at 13-2. I think Bournemouth win this one.
Okay, Bournemouth then for both Dave and Derek. Let's get to the naps then. Now, best bet of the weekend for you, Derek.
Well, that West Brom-Watford game, right, it's a shocker of a game. Everybody knows how it will pan out, and it's impossible to see it being an attractive game. It really is. Now, under 1.5 goals, it's 2-1. It should not be 2-1. It should be something like about 11-10 now, because that's like everybody knows what game this is going to be. 2-1 is massive. That's why I'm going for that.
Okay, under 1.5 goals then between West Brom and Watford at 2-1, DK?
I'm going to go with Swansea.
I wanted Swansea.
Do you want Swansea?
I would like Swansea.
You take Swansea then, I'll pick another one out. I'll go Bournemouth if you're going
okay.
for Swansea.
All right.
Because those are the two that I'm strongest on in the 90-minute markets this weekend. I think Bournemouth will beat Liverpool for all the reasons I've just stated, and Swansea's the other one that I like. I think over 2-1 for a team to win at Newcastle, the way they've played recently, there's definitely tension within that Newcastle camp, and the arrival of Rafa Benitez hasn't had the effect that I think many fans and pundits expected, so those were the two that I liked.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think if Newcastle were going to get out of trouble, the Tyne-Wear derby and the game against Norwich were the 2 games to do it in, so I think they're gone. A Swansea side have only been beaten once in their last 6 games, so they're in pretty good form as well. If you wanted to play all 3 naps then as a treble, that's under 1.5 in West Brom versus Watford at 2-1, Swansea to beat Newcastle at 21-10, and Bournemouth to beat Liverpool at 5-2. That treble pays just over 31-1. So decent price this week.
I like that. I like that, Derek, actually, this week.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I was sweet on Bournemouth too against Liverpool, and also Swansea against Newcastle. In fact, they would have been, had I not gone for the West Brom Watford Borathon, they would have been my two, and maybe Man City at Chelsea, but I know you disagree with that one.
Derek, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, and now that you're back being a Liverpool fan again, good for you. Good for you, Derek, and I wish your club every success in the future.
Well, thank you. Thank you most kindly, sir.
Thanks very much,
cheers,
Derek.
Lads.
And my thanks to Dave Callender as well. And best of luck this weekend if you are having a bet in the Premier League.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.